20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, better known as the Wash Your Hands, Wash Your Butt edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. What's going on, guys? I'm Steve Perhatch, joined always by Sarah Kelleher, Dusty Evely. Playoff edition football. Everybody's hands clean, their butts good. What's going on?
Last I checked, everything's good, man. Everything's good.
Yep, literally took a shower right before this, so I'm ready to go.
That is ideal. That is ideal. So everybody should be flu-free. Apparently, that is running around the Packers locker room, however, so it's promoted some fun stuff and some funny stuff going around there. So that was Devontae Adams telling everybody to make sure to wash your hands and wash your butt. We don't want it. We don't need any pink eye going around either. So everybody seems to be catching the flu, but at least I feel like at least it's early enough that it should be able to run through everybody's system and they should be good to go for game day. I mean, no lingering concerns from you, right, Dusty?
No, I mean, hopefully not. I mean, it is early enough. You don't know what kind of flu it is. It weakens and usually takes a couple days to get over. But, yeah, I'm feeling good. It's at home. They don't have to travel anywhere, you know, so they're good to go.
So I know everybody has talked about this a little bit, but today Mike McCarthy, the new coach of the Dallas Cowboys, it still feels weird to say.
Yeah.
Weird to say, but he came out and had a few maybe eye-raising comments of – he's got to pander to the Cowboy fans and still wants to not be hated by Packer fans, I guess. So, Sarah, let me get your immediate reaction to the fact that Mike McCarthy, when talking about Dez Bryant, says, it was a great catch. I can say it now. It wasn't then, technically. Like, come on, man. What's your reaction to this statement?
Yeah, I mean, do I hate that he said it? Yes. Am I surprised that he said it? No. I think everyone knew that this question was coming. I saw tweets all about this, and people were like, oh, I hope somebody asked him that. Of course people were going to ask him about that. So it was, I mean, it's whatever. Like you said, he doesn't want to piss off the team that he is now the head coach for, and he doesn't want to piss off all of the Green Bay fans and everyone in that corner. So I get it. I mean, nothing was too shocking about it. It's funny. As long as he's seriously deep down inside, Mike, if you're listening, which I know you're not, but as long as he does not believe that it was a catch, then I'm good. But I mean, he has to say what he said.
Dusty, any reaction from you?
No, I mean, I get it. I like that he hedged, actually. I like that it wasn't just like, of course he caught it. What are you guys talking about? Ha, 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 ha. He was like, well, technically, like, I enjoyed that it was the Green Bay McCarthy's still in there. You know, you don't go in your first day on the job in front of everyone and go, no, he dropped it. That's dumb. Why would you think he did anything otherwise? Because you got to work in front of these people, you understand? Like, hey, you don't want to piss them off immediately. So I like that he kind of said that, but also hedged. Like, well, technically not. Like, I don't know. It was fun. I had a moment where I was like, oh, Mike. Oh, baby, what is you doing? But nah, it's fine. It's all fine.
Oh, baby, what you doing? No. I mean, if you ever watch Saturday Night Live, my reaction was the girl that you don't want to get stuck talking to the party to. If you've ever seen that one, it's just conflicting thoughts, like back and forth of like, why would you say that? And don't say that. Like, what is wrong with you? That was my initial statement. Like, I understood it, but I was also like, but no, Mike, what are you doing? They're going to tear down your sign.
Nah, man, streets forever, man. Streets forever.
I don't know. I mean, I know it'll most likely say it, but if let's say he beats somehow, like they go with a super, they get to the NFC Championship and they're playing the Packers and his team beats the Packers in like a couple years from now, I wouldn't put past some drunk idiot to go like knock the sign down, steal the pole. Like, we used to do some dumb stuff in college. I stole some street signs in college. So I wouldn't put it past some drunken idiot to do that in Green Bay.
Oh, no, I thought you meant, like, the city. I thought you meant, like, recommission the street. Like, no, yeah, someone's absolutely going to cover that up, at the very least. I mean, listen, we've got a street sign here that's High Street. Everyone's got a High Street. That sign never stays up because people are dumb and they steal it. Someone will steal it or someone will cover it up the next time the Cowboys come to town. But, that street sign's always going to be there.
they want to recommission it as LaFleur Way, I'm okay with that. That'll work.
Nah, he'll get a better street.
You respect him for the things that he brought to the city. Like mm-hmm. It'll stay up for a long time, and as well it should. Let's see. We've got the injury report that's out. It's, I guess I'd say a little bit longer than normal. We've got some really good news of Brian Bulaga clearing the concussion protocol. So he is a full participant, but had veterans rest. So I don't really know how that works, but cleared the protocol, which is the very important part of it all. The big shocker that showed up was Kenny Clark did not participate with a back injury. Don't really know too much about this at the minute, but I'm assuming it's not going to be too bad. Or maybe it's, I'm hoping it's not going to be too bad because the Packers really, really could use him on Sunday. Rashawn Gary with the shoulder was full participant. Jimmy Graham on veterans rest. Lazard was full participant. Mercedes Lewis was limited with veterans rest. Lindsley was back, full participant. Martinez, full participant. Preston Smith was limited with an ankle, which was new. I hadn't heard that one. Billy Turner with an ankle. Vitaly with a knee, but those guys were all back and limited. Dexter Williams did not participate with an illness, so there you go, the flu popping up. In the running back group, Jamal Williams was a full participant, and then Tremont had veterans rest. So not horrible, but just it seems like a lot of people are dealing with a little nicks and knacks and things like that. But Sarah, is there anything that kind of pops out to you of note outside of the big ones of Kenny Clark?
Nothing too concerning. I think the Preston Smith one was a little surprising because I hadn't really seen anything before that, and obviously he's one of the key players and is going to be a key player again this weekend. But other than that, not really. Like you said, outside of Kenny Clark, I think a lot of them were just precautionary, and I really hope that the Clark injury isn't anything serious and that maybe they're just being cautious with him as well.
Dusty, if you got any feelings?
No, I hope Clark is fine, as we all do. He's kind of, to me, the key to stopping everything up front and helping generate that pressure and contain Russell Wilson by kind of doing his pressure thing up the middle. I wrote about that a little bit yesterday that came out, kind of about how he got the key to that. And so he stands out. I will say, just on the positive side, both Vitaly and Williams were out. And so them being back and practicing again, I think is really, really good. I love the pony package that Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones package. It's not quite the same without Jamal in the game. So him practicing and him being back, I think that's awesome. And like you said, it's longer than I would have thought. The Preston Smith ankle thing is weird, but overall, it's for where they are in the season, pretty good, but also pretty glad they got that bye.
So let's get it going. It is officially the week of the divisional playoff round. Taking on Seattle, everybody's like jacked up, excited. The tweets are flowing from all Packers fans, like more than usual, I would say. Like it is an overflow of tweetage, to coin a new term, apparently. Sarah, what's going on? Like, where are you? What's your plans for the game?
My plans for the game, I will be in Orlando, and I actually have, I invite my neighbor over to watch the games with me. He just likes watching football in general, so I always invite him over. And then we actually have a good buddy of ours who graduated about a year ago, and he lives in Texas, and he's going to be in town, so that'll be really fun. So I think three of us are going to watch that together and hopefully see the Packers win. But it's exciting because usually I either just watch by myself if I'm here in Orlando. If I'm home, I'll watch with my whole family. Every now and then my neighbor watches, but we'll have a little group going on, so that'll be good. And then the national championship for college is the next day. So a lot of good football going on in that 24-hour span. So that'll be cool.
Dusty, you looks like you might be making the trek up as well, right?
It looks like I may be making the trek up. Yeah, it's still, I'm like 90% sure I'm going. I still got a couple things up in the air. But yeah, as of right now, my plan is to be in Lambeau for the game, which, I've been up there for a few games. I've been up there, earlier this year when we went. But I've never been to a playoff game. And one of my bucket list item is, going to a conference championship at Lambeau. I would just absolutely love that. Short of that, I'll take a divisional game. So this will be my first playoff game. Super, super hype. So it's looking good right now, and it's looking cold, but not below zero. So, I think I'll survive. I'm very, very excited about this.
Well, I'll say you still have all the gear from the last time around, so I mean you should be pretty good to go.
Plus, I bought boots since the last time.
Oh, that would
so
be good.
So I'm ready because my toes are the only thing that was cold, so I'm all good now.
Way to just make me look really, really more boring than I already am, Dusty. Because I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna watch the movie with my two friends, and you're like, oh, I'm gonna be there in person.
Well, it's kind of a surprise trip. Normally, I would just be watching it with my brothers, and that's awesome. Watching with people who love Green Bay and you know, kind of getting into that spirit. If you can't go to the game, which I don't get a chance to go that often, watching it with friends, that is the best way to watch it. That's not lame, Sarah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Mine's better, but yours.
I was gonna say, come on now.
Dusty, Sarah's gonna be watching with her two friends, while Dusty's gonna be watching with like 75,000 of his closest, nearest and dearest friends. So
that's right, all family on that day.
Unless you're wearing some blue and green crap, then kick them out.
Yes, sir.
All right, so we're going to keep on with our tradition of talking about the Packers offense and whoever they're playing this week. So versus the Seattle defense. So Dusty is going to obviously do his deep dive and give you guys all the information that you need to know about what to look for in the game. So Sarah, you and I are going to break a few smaller details down. So why don't you go ahead and tell me what the biggest thing you're looking for from the Packers offense versus Seattle defense is this week.
Yeah, so I'm just going to be looking a little bit at the offense. In general, I think that this game is going to come down to the defense and how they perform, and I truly do believe that. I think Kenny Clark, you know, if he's healthy, now that's an issue. I think he's going to be huge. So that, you know, the fact that he didn't participate scares me, and I think a lot of other, like, Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith are going to play big roles in that. But when I did take a look at the offense, the one thing I'm looking at is our main guy, number 12, Aaron Rodgers. So there's been a lot of talk about him this season, and that, you know, and we talked about this on the last podcast, how I think he was the second to last rated quarterback in the playoffs, right? Was that correct?
That was an ESPN ranking. So it was arbitrary, but yes, he was ranked 11th out of 12, and I think Brady was 10th out of 12.
Okay, so, I mean, people have been talking that it has been a narrative all season long, but I think he's going to have a huge role in this game. Just looking back at Aaron Rodgers and how he's performed against the Seahawks the last four times that these teams have met got me a little excited. So, in last year, he was 21 for 30 with 332 yards, two touchdowns, and 128.8 passer rating. In 2018, it was a little lower, but then in 2017, he was 18 for 23 for 246 yards, three touchdowns, and 150.8 passer rating. So there's a lot of stuff to look at there. Over the past 4 years, he has an average passer rating of like 120. So that was just something interesting. And I think the fact that people are counting him out is really, really dangerous. They're still winning games when they're at 13-3 here. And Seattle's defense is 27th in pass defense. So I think if Aaron Rodgers can get hot and he can find a rhythm, that they can totally take advantage of that. The only team as far as pressures goes with fewer sacks than Seattle's pass rush was the Dolphins this year. So that's obviously not the best statistic for them, but it's a great statistic for the Packers. So I think if Aaron Rodgers has time in the pocket, he's able to move around and do what he does best when he's mobile at times, that they can really connect. And that's what I'm going to be looking for. And hopefully we see a little more accuracy, a little better decision making, and really just that playoff Aaron Rodgers that we've seen in the past. And I think if we're able to even get a little bit of that or glimpses of that, then the Packers are going to win this game 100%.
Hey, Aaron, if you're listening and you have a clean pocket, step into the effing throw.
And also, that's all I got. And also make sure your butt is also clean. Like
your pocket, and wash your butt.
Yeah, please. Please.
So yeah, that would be bad. I am going to be looking for one thing and one thing only, and it actually applies to the offense and the defense, and it's domination from the offensive line and the defensive line. Because if you watch that game that Seattle played against the Eagles, if you didn't get excited for the Packers defense and the things that they could be doing, watching Fletcher Cox just like go through a, like a knife through hot butter, like, oh my God. I was so excited for Kenny Clark and the thoughts of Za'Darius Smith being able just to fly around. I know we're supposed to talk about the offense, but that was one of the things that got me really excited. And apparently yesterday's show stepped on our toes about talking about the offense. So I don't care. I don't care. It's the playoffs, and this is what I'm excited about. So I'm looking at that, but I'm also looking at the Packers offensive line. There's a stat from – hold on. I got to pull it up. Obviously, this is super professional of me not to have it ready to go. But the Seahawks are 32nd in the league in creating pressure, and they will be going up against the number one offensive line in the NFL. Further upon that, if Jadeveon Clowney, who is obviously their best pass rusher, but he is a little bit dinged up, if he's not a full 100%, he is responsible for 26.6 of their total pressures. I believe that's 42 for the year. Next closest guy on that team is Jefferson with less than half of that. So if Clowney isn't a full go, or if Bakhtiari or Bulaga, whoever's holding him down at the on the ends, is kind of neutralizing them, they don't have a lot of guys that will be coming after Rodgers without dialing up a lot of blitzes. So that is the one thing I'm focusing on, is the offensive line and how they're going to hold up against that defense, because if they can – give Rodgers clean pockets, that's the most you can ask for, because that'll set up the play action. That'll set up exactly the things that LaFleur wants. Get some guys in some good matchups. And, man, if Aaron Rodgers is accurate, Aaron Rodgers, it could be a really, really good game. So that's what I'm looking for. Dusty, please inform the people and make them all a little bit smarter about Packers football for us.
I usually go a little numbers heavy, and I'm not really going to do that today because I don't know. I just didn't have time. Took it up. And I care about you all deeply, but also I'm tired a lot. So the one thing I did want to start off with was Davante Adams in Week 17. This is Pro Football Focus. Had 18 snaps in the slot, which was the highest number of snaps in the slot all season. I've been saying, I think these past like 4 to 5 weeks, they've been kind of gearing up for a little something-something in the playoffs to see what works. That to me says something about, okay, he played his highest number of snaps in the slot there. And part of that was, I think they had their highest number of offensive snaps all season in that Lions game, or very close to it. But still, there's his highest number of snaps in the slot. He's done well out of there. I think we're going to see some of them there. So that's just something to look out for. And he's typically been in that 20-25% range all season. So I imagine we'll see that. Maybe a tick up, maybe closer to 30%. But just keep an eye out for where Davante Adams lines up. That's something to watch for. The other thing I'm going to talk about is, I just want to talk about the cover three for a second. You guys want to talk about cover three defense for a second? Boy, I sure do.
I would love to.
That sounds like fun, doesn't it? I think that sounds like a blast. So you're going to hear a lot about cover three this weekend, basically because that's what Seattle has typically run under Pete Carroll. So what exactly does that mean, and what can the Packers do from that base? Now, what we've seen so far this year, that's kind of what I want to get into. So anytime you hear like the number, you got the cover three, cover two, any of that stuff, just think of the field cut into that many deep zones. So cover three, typically what will happen is you have a single high safety, and then your boundary corner is kind of, usually they'll bail or something at the snap. And so you split the field into thirds. You got one safety in the middle, and then you get your two guys on the side kind of bailing. So you got your three deep zones. You got three guys, each responsible for one part of the deep zone. Now, it's very simplistic, and there's a whole bunch of variations on that. But that's the base of what Seattle runs and the base of what Seattle has run for a very, very long time. So, and what we could see from that, in any defense, you've got, there's ways to attack it. There's weaknesses within that defense as well. So I think of like cover three, what I always think of is you hear a seam throw or something like that. Typically that's somewhere in between those deep zones. So against cover three, you've got, you know, a guy playing one boundary, a guy playing another boundary, and a guy in the middle. Well, in between those little weak spots, the seam in between those, you can hit some of that. Another way to attack those, so look for some of these wheel routes that Green Bay has done kind of up that seam there as well. A lot of times wheel routes are a good way to kind of go around there, especially these offset wheel routes that you run out of the backfield up the seam, because the deep coverage guy is kind of looking somewhere else, so he's kind of drifting away from where that is typically going. You can kind of clear the edge. So going along with that as well, something else you could see I've got an article on Packer Report that's hitting on Friday about this. That's a play that the Niners ran in Week 17 against Seattle. You can not necessarily confuse, but you can draw that safety off. So I'm expecting to see a little more. I know a lot of people are upset that Rodgers does not throw to the middle too much, which is not really entirely true, but whatever. I don't expect to see a ton of throws to the middle, more on the boundary. And one of the reasons I think, one of the ways I think they're going to be able to do that is if you take kind of an outside receiver and run him straight up and slant him just a little. Basically, you run him kind of almost a skinny post because you want that boundary corner to pull up, the boundary defender to pull up, and also pay attention to that safety, and then you run something behind him, whether that's a wheel or something else. I think you're going to see some of that. You're going to get some of whatever their shot plays. I'm going to guess the vast majority of their shot plays you're going to see on the boundaries and not that post over the middle that we've seen with MVS. So that's just a couple things. Just you got your cover three shell. You got a couple ways the Packers could attack it, and they've run a bunch of that kind of seam wheel stuff this year. So I think we're going to see that, and that includes that Vitaly, the fullback sail, the cheese wheel, basically. I expect at least one instance of that where you get kind of the boundary guy running just a post. Again, kind of a post in the middle between those two third defenders, and then you run that fullback out of the backfield and wheel it up the field behind him. I expect we're going to see at least that one time. We're going to see a handful of wheels, the shots up the sideline, and something on that boundary to take up that edge third defender so you can run something behind him. So that's kind of a couple things I'm looking for, just based on what Seattle has traditionally run.
Outstanding. I appreciate the all the knowledge. See, I'm not going to go negative because it's a playoffs. We want all positive energy.
That's right.
We'll see. I mean, we'll see how long that lasts because Dusty potentially might be staying the night at my house on Saturday night, so it'll be interesting.
One of us isn't making out of there alive, right, Steve?
And it is my house. I do know where all – I know where all the you know, weapons are hidden. I've got like little dart guns and all sorts of stuff all over
hands,
the house.
Steve, these hands.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll definitely be. Okay. I was gonna say something and it played in my head and I was like, ooh, that sounds really, really. Nope, not gonna say
yep,
that.
I think
not.
I know where it was going and I'm glad you stopped. Appreciate that. Appreciate you, brother.
Well, let's do some score predictions. okay, so I am +2 on both of you fools. So I am looking forward to a Green Bay Packers victory. I am going to be taking the Packers 27, the Seahawks 21. I think there'll be a couple, they'll give up one or two of the bigger plays. I think DK Metcalf may get a big one over the top. He might do that. I think, you know, a Russell Wilson magician. He kind of pulls some stuff out of his butt apparently a lot. So I'm hoping that the front four can definitely get the pressure. They can get in there and get the sacks on him. But overall, I'm looking for a Packer victory. So Dusty, you are +1 on Sarah right now.
Okay.
So what do you got?
We all know where this is going, man. Yeah, I'm going Packers as well. You know, with the, I've seen a lot of the kind of the one score thoughts, and I get it because both teams have played a lot of one score games. I'm bucking that slightly just because I feel like some of these matchups are going to be really, really good. I think what Metcalf did last week, I think, is a little scary, but I do think based on the Packers defensive line and the Seattle's offensive line and what the Packers can do offensively, if they get clicking, I think this could go fairly well. So I'm going to go a little big. I'm going to say a score of 31-20.
Love it. Sarah, are you going to try to make a game up?
I feel like I have to. Like, I have literally no choice. Like,
wow.
I almost want to give my actual score prediction and then my fake one that I'm doing just because at this point I'm going to lose, like, either way.
I mean, you do realize the repercussions if you actually pick the Seahawks in the playoff game.
Okay.
And all this is you have to eat Oreos and you're really going to pick Seattle right now?
No, I told you already like 3 times in this podcast. I was like, if Green Bay does this, this, or this, they're going to win. And I believe that they can win. But for the sake of my pride and dignity for this for this bet, wow. I could tie Dusty if I.
That's no way to win. You don't want to just tie me. What's where's the glory, man?
Yeah, you. That's less pain on myself, and I can.
All
like,
it means is you're tied for the first loser.
Right. Well, that's better than being the only loser. So I have to.
Actually, it's a solid point. Solid.
Have to pick Seattle. I don't even want to give a score prediction. Like, I just am just going to say them.
But if you do give a score prediction and you get it right, then you jump Dusty. True.
All right.
And you tie me, and then Dusty's a big old loser.
She is so sad. Look what you're making. Look what this has done. Look what this has done to us.
Everyone on Twitter hate me because I have to choose against them so that I can try to win this bet. Okay, sorry. I'm dragging on. I have to pick the other team. I can't even say it.
Okay, I like it.
The other team, and I'm going to say, 28-24.
Oof. It's like, give a moment of silence for Sarah picking Seattle. God.
You did this. This is on your head, sir. Yeah, it's on your head.
It's not my fault that you suck at picking games.
Yeah, but it's your fault that you made it come down to this. That you're like, oh, we're going to make Sarah pick last, so then she has to choose.
You wanted to pick last. You said it gave you a better advantage, and you never took advantage. You should have taken... Not my fault. Not my fault that
I shouldn't have taken advantage, because then I would have been down even more games than I am right
that's
now.
That's a good point.
That's a valid point. Hey, what do you want from me? The Packers went 13-3. I'm sorry.
God, Steve's awful. You're on my side now, Sarah. Steve is bad.
Sorry. Not sorry.
I would just die if, like...
Okay, and now what's your actual score prediction?
I actually think that Green Bay is going to win 34-28. Sure. But I can't say that, so pretend that I never said that.
I understand. I understand where you're coming from.
Do you, though?
No, I don't, because I'm not going to be eating. Well, we have figured out the
you're
most.
You're going to be eating Oreos anyway, Steve. What do you care, man?
It's a valid point. I crushed like a sleeve of the fudge covered Oreos today. So
I don't understand. Why doesn't the winner just eat a sleeve of regular Oreos? Why don't we just do that?
Because that's not funny enough to put on the internet.
Internet's a cesspool, Steve. I don't know if you know this. Internet's not a good place.
I'm fully aware. We need to pump it up with some good content of Sarah eating Oreos and being like, oh God, this is disgusting. That would make me laugh.
Just you personally, though. Like, that's it. Yeah, just you personally.
That's enough for me. I don't care.
All right. Okay.
I'm selfish. What do you want from me?
Okay. Just wanted you to admit it.
Oh, yeah. I have no problem admitting that. Final thoughts. Let's go. Dusty, why don't you hit us with everything that you've got for articles, what you're putting out for videos, and anything else you have for us?
Yeah, I did mention a couple of them already. So yesterday I had a piece over Packer Report about looking at, you mentioned Fletcher Cox, Steve, a couple of Fletcher Cox plays. There was a forced fumble and then a pressure that led to an incomplete on third down, and kind of showing what he did in that game versus what we've seen from Kenny Clark this year in terms of taking away everything else, taking away what Za'Darius Smith has done. Just Kenny Clark, what can he do in the middle based on what we saw happen to them last week. And so that was fun to write. So that was out yesterday. Today, over on Passing Chronicles, it's tough. This week has been kind of tough on me in a very, very good way, because all of my stuff I write 3 articles a week, and they're all retrospectives on the previous game. So it's, I look at a pressure, I look at a ton of passing plays, and I look at one passing play, and I break it down, but it's all, what did the Packers do last week? Well, I still got stuffs to write. The Packers didn't play, so I had to make something up. So today over on Passing Chronicles and Cheesehead TV, I looked at all 10 of DK Metcalf's targets from this past week to show how Seattle used him, how they used the threat of his speed to open stuff up, and then once they started biting on that, used that to get up over the top. So just a couple things to look out for, this coming weekend as far as what he can do. It's a limited route tree. He's not great at a lot of things. What he's good at, he's very good at. So it's a couple things to look out for this week. And then on Friday, I've got the aforementioned piece on the Niners. Niners play with Kyle Juszczyk in Week 17 against the Seahawks, and it's Shanahan, so I felt like that fit pretty well. It's Shanahan and LaFleur falls from that tree, and that's something we've seen the Packers run, and it went for, I think, 49 yards that play. So I broke down that play and kind of talked about why that was successful. It kind of the same way I was talking about Cover 3 a little earlier. So kind of getting into that a bit more. That was a fun piece. So, no Packers game to break down, but definitely a fun week for writing stuff this week.
Sarah's going to end the show with her final thoughts. So I'm going to do mine quickly. Before that all goes down, I want to remind everyone to please like us on iTunes, give us a review anywhere you get your podcast from. Any positive reviews are always awesome, so we appreciate that. But make sure you follow us on Twitter at Dusty Evely, at Sarah Kelleher 4, at Steve Perhatch, and at Packaday Podcast. We always appreciate the interactions there. It's always so much fun for us, so please keep it up. And then my final thought is, I will say happy birthday to my daughter, who is turning 5 on Monday. So hopefully we will be celebrating a Packers victory with her. But just a reminder to all those people who go to people's houses for children's birthday party and then go ahead and feel free to raid the liquor cabinet. Just watch out. I had to smack a guy's hand a couple of weeks ago because he decided that he wanted to cut my almost my last drop of Weller that I have, and I've only had one bottle of that. He wanted to cut that with some caffeine-free Diet Coke.
Oof.
And no, I had to pull that out of his hand and give him some of a little bit. I gave him the Evan Williams, the single barrel that somebody recommended to me that was not good. So, you know, just be mindful of other people's bourbons. That's what I will tell you.
You're supposed to kill a man for that, Steve.
I kind of wanted to, but it was one of my wife's friends' husbands, so I didn't really know him, so I couldn't really
care.
That's
so fair.
Yeah, so but I saved the Weller for everybody's edification. But Sarah, we're gonna end with you, Sarah Delilah Keller Kelleher. Please feel free to finish off the podcast for us.
Okay, thank you for that introduction. So basically, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, wherever you're listening to this and whatever time of the day that you're listening to this, I hope you just remember one thing from this podcast and you go about your day or your night remembering the one thing, besides Go Pack Go, of course, is just to wash your hands and wash your butt.
Go Pack Go.